I think most of us get a lot of comfort from our knowledge of the power of God. We pray to God. We have expectations that God will bless us, that He will forgive us, that He will act as a result of our prayers. I think we also have tremendous confidence in Jesus as our Savior and the blood that He has shed. And the intercessions that He's doing for us. And every first day of the week, we give careful consideration to His part in our salvation. But when it comes to the Holy Spirit, I think that we have a slight difficulty because of the miraculous measure versus His regular, everyday role that will continue until the end. Just as we know God is in prayer, and just as we know that Jesus is in the Lord's Supper and is in our salvation, we need to keep in mind that the Holy Spirit is working through His Word, and that everything the Word accomplishes in our lives is not the Word. It's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit makes the Word of God living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. The Holy Spirit is the power behind everything that the Word of God accomplishes. And once we see it that way, we begin to have the same benefits as having God in our prayers and having Jesus in our understanding of our salvation, and to have the Holy Spirit in our understanding that everything God's Word does is His work. And so when Paul says, if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Now we all know, Paul could have said, if by God's word you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by God's word, these are sons of God. We know that. But that's not what Paul said. But interestingly enough, that's what we do. When we read this passage, we immediately say that if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, that's the Word of God. And in a sense, we are minimizing the power of the Word by replacing the work of the Holy Spirit with the work of the Word. And you may be thinking in your mind, well, I don't see the difference. I think there's a vital difference if we're going to understand the scriptures that we're going to be talking about this morning. So the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Now, once again, He could have just as easily said, the Word of God bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. But He didn't say that. Because He doesn't want us to see the Word as something separate and apart from the Holy Spirit. He wants us to see the Word as the work of the Holy Spirit. He wants us to see that everything that God's Word accomplishes is actually being done by the Holy Spirit, just like everything in our salvation, including the blood, was done by Jesus, and everything in this material creation and everything in our personal lives that we pray about is God. We don't just say, I pray. We say, I pray and God hears my prayer. There's a fellowship. We don't just say that the blood forgives us of our sins. We say the blood of Christ, and we recognize His intermediating that He does. But I think we sell ourselves a little short when we don't do that with the Holy Spirit. So in Romans chapter 8, so then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, once again, He could have said the Word of God. He does in other places say that the Word, let the Word dwell in you richly. But He doesn't. He says the Holy Spirit because, once again, He's wanting us to emphasize that you can't separate the Word from the Holy Spirit, just like you can't separate the creation from God, and just like you can't separate the blood from Jesus. So if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not His. Now, the Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of God and the Spirit of Christ, just like the church is called the Church of Christ, the Church of God, the Church of the Firstborn. It's the same church looked at from different perspectives. It's the same Holy Spirit that's being talked about. So, do we have clear answers to this? Do we put to death the deeds of the body by the Spirit or by the Word? In our thinking, he didn't say the Word, he said the Holy Spirit. I think it's very important as this lesson proceeds that we understand this. Now, before I go any further, and we've already talked about this a little bit, but I want to make this point again. God made the worlds. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, but we all understand that all things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. In other words, God created the heavens and the earth with the Word who became flesh, Jesus. God revealed his will and works with us, but after Jesus left, the Holy Spirit is our other comforter. In other words, God works through Jesus for our salvation, and God works through the Holy Spirit for our enlightenment and our understanding of his will. So, Jesus could have said, God will be your other comforter. He could have said, I will be your other comforter. But he didn't. He put the Holy Spirit in that role. Just like God put Jesus in the role of Savior, Jesus put the Holy Spirit in the role of being our other comforter. And so when we say the Holy Spirit works through the Word, let's understand something, brethren. That makes the Word powerful. It doesn't minimize the work of the Holy Spirit. It only puts the Word where it belongs as the sword of the Spirit and as the one, the means by which the Holy Spirit does this. So when Jesus says, I will pray the Father and he will give you another helper. Now, other translations, another comforter, another advocate, another intercession. Now, the word another is an interesting word. We've talked about this in the past. There's two Greek words for another. One is heteros, from which we get the word heterosexual, and it means another of a different kind. The other is allos, and it means another of the exact same kind. I will send you a comforter who is equivalent to me. And then he says this, the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. But then Jesus said, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. Now you think about that verse. What's he saying there? Isn't he saying it's going to be better for you after I'm gone and the Holy Spirit is here? Isn't he saying, I tell you the truth, I am giving you an absolute truth, that when I go away and I become the King of Kings and Lord of Lords at the right hand of God in the heavens, I'm going to send you another comforter. And it's to your advantage, it's better for you. The work of the Holy Spirit is an advantage. Now, I'm not going to read that because it doesn't really matter. Now, let's start with prophecy. I think if we see what God says he's going to do, that we can have a better understanding of what he did. So, we all know this verse. It's in Jeremiah 31. It's also in Hebrews chapter 8. It's quoted in two places in the scriptures. Behold, the days come, says Jehovah, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Now, we know what that covenant is. It's the gospel. It's the new covenant in my blood that we think about every first day of the week. I will put my law in their inward parts, and in their heart I will write it. Now, I want you to keep this in the back of your mind, because this is going to be very important, because later he's going to tell us, I'm going to do this through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is going to be the agency, not the Word. The Holy Spirit himself, yes, it's in the Word, but it's still him. It's not the Word alone. I will put my law in their inward parts through the Holy Spirit. And in their heart I will write it. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall no more every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know Jehovah, for they shall all know me. the reason they will all know him is because of the work of the Holy Spirit. When Peter got up in Acts chapter 2, those words he spoke were the Holy Spirit's words. Yes, they're in a book now, but it's still his work. And just like we don't separate the Lord's Supper from Jesus, and we don't separate our prayers from God, we shouldn't separate the Holy Spirit from his word. So we entered this new covenant and received the remission of sins when we were baptized. And God then wrote his law in our hearts, and we became his people. Now, here's another verse along the same lines. Therefore, thus says the Lord, I will gather you from the peoples. I will assemble you from the countries where you have been scattered. That's what we're reading about in the book of Acts. This isn't talking about the first gathering. This is talking about the gathering under the gospel. Verse 18. They will go there, and they will take away all its detestable things and all its abominations from there. Then I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within them. And I will take the stony heart out of their flesh and give them a heart of flesh. Now let's ask a question. Does God really do that? When I'm baptized in the water of baptism, does God take a stony heart out and put a heart of flesh in? And if he does, how does he do it? He says he's going to do it. I'm going to give them one heart. The reason they're all going to have the same heart is because when they obey me, I'm going to put the same heart in them. I'm going to take out that stony heart out of their flesh and give them a soft heart, a heart of flesh, a heart that can be touched. They will, that they may walk in my statutes and keep my judgments and do them. And they shall be my people, and I will be their God. Now again, this gathering occurs when the gospel is preached in Acts, and it is continuing to be fulfilled. Now, if you're thinking in your mind, how does Alan know all this? Let's look at the verses. There shall come forth a rod from a stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. By the time Isaiah is writing, he's talking about the Messiah, because the seed of David is going to be cut off when they go into Babylon. That's why it's going to come out of the root. That's why it's going to come out of the stem. In that day, there shall be a root of Jesse, who shall stand as a banner to the people, for the Gentiles shall seek him, and his resting place shall be glorious. It shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people who are left. So Jesus is the stem, Jesus is the root, Jesus is the branch. It will happen when the Gentiles seek him, which couldn't happen until after the crucifixion. And finally, it will be a second gathering. So when Jesus says, you will be my witnesses in all Jerusalem, Judea and Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth, and Paul goes out saying to the Jew first and also to the Greek, he's gathering. He's offering these people an opportunity to return. Now, let's see how this works. I will take you from the nations and gather you from all the lands and bring you into your own land. Now, that's what he does. We're called out of darkness. We're called out of the kingdoms of darkness into the kingdom of the Son of his love. We are called out. We are taken from the nations. Verse 25, then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean, and I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. Verse 26, moreover, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. Now that's a prophecy. He doesn't say, I'm going to put the word in you. He says, I'm going to put the Holy Spirit in you. Now, how's he going to do that? We say he does it through the word. Yeah, but he's still doing it through the word, and that's the point. The Holy Spirit is working in us. Now, we can dial it up or down, depending on how we study the scriptures, depending on how much work we put into it, but the Holy Spirit only works through his word, and when the word is working, he is working, And one more time, let me say this, just like we see God in our prayers and just like we see Jesus in the Lord's Supper, we need to see the Holy Spirit in everything the Word is actually doing. So, how does God put His Spirit in us? Well, Jesus answered and said to him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except one be born anew, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus saith unto him, "How can a man be born when he is old? How can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Amen, amen." That's the translation from "verily, verily." "Except one be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." So we all know when we're put under the water of baptism, something happens. And what happens is the agency or the work of the Holy Spirit. It is the agency or the work of the Holy Spirit, not the Word. The Word does nothing when I go into the water of baptism, but that new birth occurs because of water and the Spirit. So when we're born anew, we remove the heart of stone for heart of flesh. And if you're still skeptical, I'm going to prove this again and again and again with about five other verses. But I'm just introducing it now because I want us all to think about it. Being born again is when God removes the heart of stone and replaces it with a heart of flesh. Being born of water and the Spirit is when God gave us His Spirit. And if we were not born of water and the Spirit, we're not in the kingdom of God. Now again, God is building a case for us here. He wants us to understand that the Holy Spirit is working through His Word, and everything the Word does, the Holy Spirit is doing, and we should give credit to our other comforter. We should feel the same comfort from the Holy Spirit working through the Word as we do Jesus working through the communion, working through the power that has been placed in the gospel, and God the Father working. Now, once again, the Holy Spirit in the new birth. When the kindness of, and love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us through the washing of regeneration. Now that's water. The washing of regeneration, that's being born of water. And the renewing of or by the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Lord. You see God there, you see the Holy Spirit there, and you see Jesus Christ our Lord. Now we all know that when we are in the water of baptism, God removes our sins. When we are in the water of baptism, we are added to Christ, we enter Christ, we become a part of the church, and God is doing His part, Jesus is doing His part. Now, He introduces the Holy Spirit. He says the Holy Spirit is doing the renewing. The renewing occurs through the Holy Spirit. Now, let's break this down. The Lord, the love of God, our Savior, appears through the gospel. We see the love of God. God is working. God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. He saved us through the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom, that's the Holy Spirit, He, God, poured out abundantly. Now again, the Word makes this happen, but the Word is not what is happening. It's not the Word. It's the Holy Spirit working through the Word. What we're doing is we're elevating. We're elevating the Word of God to where it belongs. It is the sword of the Spirit. It is the means by which the Holy Spirit works. But if the Holy Spirit is not working, the Word has no power. It is the workings of the Holy Spirit that are accomplishing this. And so, through Jesus Christ, so we have all of them here. We have God, we have the Holy Spirit, and we have Jesus, and we have God pouring out abundantly the Holy Spirit, and that's when the renewing occurs. And that's when God removes the heart of stone, and that's when God gives us a heart of flesh. It's also when God put His Spirit within us, which leads us to walk in His law. Now, continuing on. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth, through the Spirit, through the Holy Spirit. In other words, the Holy Spirit is the one who is responsible. Yes, it's the Word of God, but it's the Word of God that is being given by the Holy Spirit. Just like, yes, this is God's creation, but it's God's creation given to us through the Word who was with God and was crucified on the cross. So having been, verse 23, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible. What makes the Word of God live and abide forever? What makes the Word of God incorruptible seed? I submit it's not the book that it's in. I submit it's not the words that are in the book. I submit it's the author of the book who put those words in, just like Paul said, which things we speak. Because no one knows the things of God except the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit has now been given to us. So we purified our souls. The heart of flesh was removed. Forgiveness was given. The heart of stone was removed, and the heart of flesh was given. We were born again. And it wasn't corruptible seed, a fleshly birth. It was incorruptible seed, a spiritual birth, brought about by the Word of God, because that's the word the Holy Spirit uses. So God removes the heart of flesh and puts His Spirit within us. Now, this is the prophecy. Here's the fulfillment. Circumcision is an operation. Circumcision is a knife cutting the foreskin off of the body. I will give them one heart. That's what he said. I will put a new spirit within you. I will take the stony heart. Now let's go to Colossians. You were circumcised with the circumcision made without hands. God cut something out when we were in the water of baptism, and he cut that out by the power of the Holy Spirit, because that's what he said. He said, I'm going to put a new spirit in you. I'm going to take the stony heart out, and I'm going to give you, I'm going to pour out my spirit upon you. So in him you were circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, by the putting off of the body of the sins of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ. So baptism is the circumcision of Christ. It cuts something off. Verse 12, buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. Just as God raised Jesus from the dead, he raises us from the dead. Now you can say, well, that's symbolic, or that's just God reckoning you alive again even though you were dead. It's immaterial. The fact is, we were dead. We went into the water of baptism. A circumcision occurred. A stony dead heart was removed, and a living fleshly heart replaced it. Verse 13. You, being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, that old stony heart, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Now, God could only do that because Jesus gave his blood. Now, God could have come and died on the cross. God didn't need for anyone else to do it. He made a choice. Just like God didn't need Jesus or the Word to create the heavens and the earth, he could have done it himself. But he wanted a system. He wanted the mystery that would be revealed in the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places. So three were involved: the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, the Father sent Jesus. The Father put the power. But Jesus was crucified, and Jesus was the one who made it possible. Now enter the Holy Spirit. You were dead in your trespasses and sins, stony heart, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that now works in the sons of disobedience. Among them, we too formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging in the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. That's why the stony heart had to be removed. And that's why it had to be replaced with a living, fleshly heart. We were children of wrath. We were dead in our trespasses and sins. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. Now, here's the interesting thing. We all know Jesus is actively involved in this, and we relish that, and we enjoy it, and we're grateful for it. We just need to add in the Holy Spirit. Now, here's the same verse with the Holy Spirit added in. In whom you also, having heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation. That's what Peter said. In whom, having believed, you were sealed with the word of God. No. You were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Now, that's not going to mean anything to us unless we see the Holy Spirit is our other comforter. He's working in our lives just like Jesus is working in our lives and just like the Holy Spirit is working in our lives. If you are led by the Spirit, the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. None of that is going to have the power until we understand this first. You were sealed. Now, next week we'll talk a little bit, well, not next, the following week we'll talk about this seal. Because a seal is very important. You remember in Ezekiel chapter 9, put a seal on the foreheads, and then when you go through to destroy everyone in Jerusalem, do not come near the ones who have the seal. Do not come near the ones with the mark on their forehead. We have been sealed. Not with a mark. With the Holy Spirit of promise. And the Holy Spirit of promise is an earnest down payment of our inheritance. God put the Holy Spirit right in the middle, being sealed and having a down payment of our inheritance is all based on the Holy Spirit. So we see a progression. We heard the word of the truth. Peter's sermon in Acts 2 or 10, the eunuch, Saul, they heard the word of the truth. You believed. You were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. The stony heart was removed. The fleshly heart was replaced. I put my spirit within you, and now you are sealed. You are born of water and the Spirit through the water of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. In other words, the Holy Spirit is very important. He is instrumental in our salvation. Just as instrumental as God who planned it and Jesus who executed it is the Holy Spirit who put it all together and organized it. If you think about it, when Jesus died and left, we had nothing. Just the memories in the apostles' minds. But in Acts chapter 2, the ministry of the Holy Spirit began. The other comforter came. And remember that verse? He will be with you forever. You were sealed with the Holy Spirit. Passed on from generation to generation. Now here's how God writes on our hearts. You are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read by all men. Clearly, you are an epistle of Christ, ministered by us. In other words, their preaching, their writings, they were the ones who were the go-between, but written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God. Not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of flesh. Well, when it was a stony heart, it couldn't be written, but that was removed when we were baptized and when we were born of water and the Spirit. Verse 4, we have such trust through Christ toward God. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God. In other words, don't put us in the mix at all. We are nothing. That's what he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. We are nothing. It is the Holy Spirit who is working through us. And then he says it again. He made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant. Not of the letter, but of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Holy Spirit gives life. So, the Holy Spirit did write his word on our hearts. Now, the fact that he did it through the word doesn't minimize that at all. It actually gives us a clarity. The Holy Spirit is working in my life and I can see it because he is bearing witness to me through the word. So he's written the new covenant of the Holy Spirit who gives life. The process is further explained. In whom, having heard the word of the truth. Now I realize we're repeating this verse, but I just want you to see it again. You heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation. In whom, having also believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Well, let's go back and look at that verse again. Verse 3, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God. Not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of flesh. That is, of the heart. So you heard the word of the truth. But that's not what did it. You heard the gospel of your salvation. But the Holy Spirit, it was his sword. He was the one who was doing the work. And after you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit. Well, after we believed, what did we do? We repented. We confessed. We were immersed in the water of baptism. We were born again of water and the Spirit. And then we were sealed. Not with the word. With the Holy Spirit that has been promised in Ezekiel. I will write my laws in their heart. I will put my Spirit within them. Now, the fact that it's the word that does it doesn't minimize at all that God put the Holy Spirit in us, just like God washed us in the blood of Christ. And I have enough sense to recognize how that works, but I don't take God out of my salvation, and I don't take Jesus out of my salvation, and I don't replace the Holy Spirit with the word. The Holy Spirit has a vital role here. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. You can't grieve the word. You can't grieve an inanimate object. You can't grieve something that was set in place in the first century and has just continued on unbroken without any intervention whatsoever. The Holy Spirit is still involved. You couldn't grieve him. If he wasn't involved, just like Jesus, you can still trod Jesus underfoot. You can count the blood of the covenant with which you were sanctified an unholy thing. So as we wind down this lesson, there was only really one point that I wanted to make through it all, and that is, yes, the Holy Spirit works through his word, but the Holy Spirit is the one doing the working, not the word. And it's very important that we make that distinction, because otherwise, all of these other verses that we've been looking at, the Spirit bears witness with our spirit. It's not just the word. It is the Spirit bearing witness with our spirit. And it is the Spirit that we are being led by, yes, through the word, but it's still our other comforter who's doing the work. And until we grasp that, I think the Holy Spirit is just going to remain a mystery somewhere off to the side, and we're not going to have the same understanding we do of how God works and how Jesus works. But this is by God's divine plan. He prophesied he would put the Holy Spirit within us. And he did promise, and he did put the Holy Spirit within us. Jesus promised he'd give us another comforter to be with us forever, and he's still with us forever. And even though it's the word, which to many people is just a book, that's just the vehicle that gets us from the heart of stone to the heart of flesh, from being born into this world and being born again of water and the Spirit. And so we have to see the Holy Spirit working through His Word. Every good thing that is done by the Word of God is done by the Holy Spirit. And we can't thank the Word of God, but we can certainly be grateful to the Holy Spirit. Just like we can't thank the blood, but we can certainly be grateful for the Lord who made that blood possible. So we recognize God's still working. We recognize Jesus still working. We need to understand the Holy Spirit is still working, and He is another part of the comfort that we can have. And so, as I said, we'll stop here, and then in our next sermon, we're going to start making some more important applications, because God has a lot to say about what the Holy Spirit is doing for us and how He's working with us and how He's doing these things. And if we just think of the Word of God, we're minimizing a very important person who is working with us and for us. And then passages like Romans, the Spirit makes intercessions for us with groanings that can't be uttered, starts to make perfect sense. Because if we can grieve Him, He's certainly making intercession for us with groanings that can't be uttered. He's still involved, just like Jesus is still alive and involved. And so, as we open up our song of encouragement, the Holy Spirit has testified through His Word that if you confess your sins, He will be faithful and just to forgive you. But if you don't, He will punish you. That's the Holy Spirit. It's not just the Word. That's the Holy Spirit testifying, bearing witness to us. If you're here this morning, grieving the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is watching you in your personal life, making intercessions for you, He still is actively concerned about you as Jesus was when Stephen was being stoned and He was standing at the right hand of God looking down on it all. Holy Spirit's still working. Through the Word, yeah. But it's still Him. He's actively involved in each one of our lives. Yes, through the Word, but He's still the one actively involved. And we need to see it that way, because that's how God wants us to see it. And so if we can help you in any way this morning, either by being baptized into Christ at the command of the Holy Spirit, so the Holy Spirit can bring about your salvation, or if you need to confess your sins, we invite you to come while we together stand and sing.